The packages on the table in front of you contain the vital information you will require for this mission. I want you to memorize every detail of their contents, photograph them indelibly on your memory, and then destroy them. You understand, Excel? Good. When you have finished impressing all the details on your memory and have destroyed the contents, I will require you to repeat them. You understand, Excel? To repeat them. First, this envelope contains the passport that your target will be carrying. I want you to memorize its contents, impress it photographically on your memory, and then destroy it. You understand, Excel? Good. Excellent, Excel. Memorized? Now destroy it. Are you mad, Excel? Not with lights, no lights. They are watching our every move. Destroy it. Destroy it now. Good. Now, here is the plan of the rocket firing range where the new top-secret missile is stored. Examine it closely. Photograph every detail in your memory. And then destroy it. Good. This microfilm shows the control mechanism of the new missile. Memorize it. Photograph the details indelibly in your memory. And get ready to repeat it all. Excellent. Good. Destroy it. Now, this is a scale model of their new missile. The deadly orbital global range FU-2. Not the box. Eat the box. The content of the box is top secret. This rocket. Examine it closely. Photograph it in your mind. But no. Destroy the rocket. Good, huh? Now, Excel, have you examined every detail of this top secret information? Have you photographed every single detail in your memory files? There now remains only one thing more for you to do. Excel, repeat!
After 37 years working with the BBC and various commercial radio and commercial television organizations, I found that one of the most important departments has been the sound effects studio. Now, the sound effects people are tremendously skilled because they evoke images with pure sound, and they'll go to the ends of the earth to record these sounds.
Yeah.
Mr. Birkin, is it?
No, Benteen, Michael Benteen.
Oh, we've been expecting a Mr. Birkin. Is he not coming?
No, I think it's a mistake. It's me, Mr. Benteen, you see.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't recognize you, Mr. Bernstein.
Eh?
Come to look over the rival concern, eh? Well, I'm sure the lads here can show you a thing or two. Open the gate, Fred! Right, here it is!
Incredible. All he did was to lift a wooden pole.
Hey, well, I told you the sound effects boys could show you a thing or two. Switch off the seagulls, Bart. We're 10 miles inland here, sir. Fools the industrial espionage. Switch off the sea background as well. Now, sir, drive along the gravel road there, first left onto the cobblestone surface, then first right onto the concrete bit, pull up sharpish on that wet patch of mud opposite the end door, and would you mind taking this radio microphone with you, sir?
Why?
Well, we want a recording of an old banger like yours driving along a gravel road, turning onto a cobblestone surface with a short drive over concrete, and pull up this wheel of brakes on a wet patch of mud.
All right.
I am the sound effects supervisor. That was a very nice touch of yours, that. Thank you very much. We didn't expect the bonus of a car hitting the wall. Much obliged.
What about my bloody car? My car!
Oh, don't worry about that. We'll buy it off you. It must have got about every car sound effect built into it. Squeaks, rattles, rusty creaks, low stappets, backfiring. By the way, my name's Bottle. Charles Bottle, as in...
I say, that was jolly good.
Elementary, really. Finger in mouth. Pull out against the cheek. Patting the cheek with the open hand to simulate pawing. Adjusting the mouth opening. To raise or lower the pitch of the sound. Kid stuff, really. Through here, Mr. Bernstein.
Benteen, call me Mike.
Oh, very well, Spike. Nice to have you with us. Now, please note, we never use carpets, of course. Not enough sound level when recording people walking. Well, what do you think of Studio A?
Fantastic! It's huge!
Gigantic, yes. It gives a marvellous variety of sound perspectives. For instance, with the walls at full stretch, they move.
Oh.
But we get the present effect. Gardington Airship Hangar. Then, at the touch of a button, we get a large room. A touch more. Ha! A small room. And finally, a telephone box. Or other confined space. Would you mind pressing button B?
Right.
Oh, yes. We got the idea from Edgar Allan Poe, one of the greatest sound effects writers in the business. Who will ever forget this sound of his? All of the House of Usher. Poor old Edgar.
Edgar Allan Poe, yes, tragic life story.
No,
tragic.
No. Edgar Bingle, our sound engineer. Huh? He were underneath that house when we collapsed it. There's devotion to duty for you. Listen. Edgar wanted to get that last sound right.
Good heavens, I didn't realise your job was so dangerous.
Oh, film stuntmen have nothing on us. God, we sound engineers really lay our lives on the line. Listen to these sound effects. Berkeley, with the Wright brothers just before they got it right. George Nushing on the Flying Scotsman entering Euston Station at 110 miles an hour. And Arthur Blowhole playing second clarinet in the Saloon Orchestra on the Titanic. Their names are on the Roll of Honor over there. And what about this one? Last year's winner of the Sound Effects Engineer's Special Award. Or as we call it, the Boing Award.
Hey! Must be proper! That's it! Run ye! Must be busted! Oh, prosty! Run ye! What's your name?
Incredible. Who was the victim?
We don't actually know. BBC top secret job.
Huh?
That chap was dropped behind the Iron Curtain, and that tape was smuggled out by the underground.
Amazing. I suppose there are many tricks of the trade in your profession.
Oh, naturally. I mean, take this matchbox, the old-fashioned wooden kind, and you scrunch it up like so. And you have the effect of flames burning with a crackle, like a house burning down. Or take this next effect. Now, that was a house burning down. Sounded exactly like someone scrunching up an old-fashioned wooden matchbox.
Well, how did that fire start?
Well, some Burke forgot to take the matches out before he scrunched the box. Still, there were compensations. We got this effect as a bonus.
What was that?
That was the same fire. And the same Burke jumping out of the fourth-story window. Lucky we were there.
But did you catch him in a safety net?
No. Surely you heard the splat. No. I mean, lucky we had a microphone with us. Beautiful sound quality. That last bit, bloody magnificent.
Do you have one sound effect that really gives you such a thrill you'll play it again and again and again?
Oh, yes. I'd say this one, yes. Yeah. It'll be recorded just before you came. It is of a missile being launched from the ground. We did it outside.
Incredibly realistic. How did you do it?
Oh, that's a real missile. Combine BBC business with BBC pleasure.
How so?
Well, it's headed for the House of Commons. Due about now. That'll teach the rotten bastards not to cut down on our license fees.
Oh, it was a nice touch, that.
Well, the least we could do. Our Director General was in the house at the time.
One of the things that being half Peruvian I can see in the British is their tremendous reserve. Now, I find it very difficult to be reserved with people. I'm a shy person, but I like to come out to people. But the marvellous thing about the British is that they do keep themselves to themselves. Even people who've travelled on the same train for years may never speak to each other unless something unusual happens.
The 8:15 to Waterville is just leaving platform 2.
I say, forgive my saying so, but, you know, you nearly missed the train this morning. Oh, yes, I suppose I did. excuse me being a bit forward, but do you know that's the first time ever that you've spoken to me on this train?
Oh, I say, I'm terribly sorry. I don't know what came over me. By the way, how long have we been travelling together on this train?
20 years.
Good Lord.
Really? Yes. 20 years today, I remember, because it was the day after I came back from my honeymoon that I started my new job and travelled up on this train for the first time.
Well, oh, dang it. What a small world. I've been married for 20 years myself.
Oh, that's extraordinary.
all those years, we only just started talking to each other.
Yes, it is a strange coincidence. I hope you don't mind my asking, but where were you married?
Oh, locally, at the church on the hill.
Oh, St. Mark's.
No, not St. Mark's.
St. Spencer's. Dash it. Oh, St. Michael's.
Yes, that's the one. St. Michael's. I'm forgetting my own name next.
Were you married locally too?
Oh, yes, indeed. The same church. What was the name of the vicar? Harry something.
Quilby.
No.
B.K.
Time like Bay.
Oh, I remember. Hazeltine. Harry Hazeltine.
Yes, that's the man. A very old chap. Very short-sighted, I remember. And deaf as a post. Poor old Harry Hazeltine. Killed climbing the Matterhorn, you know.
Ah, that's Harry all right. Keen type. I remember saying that Harry Hazeltine was getting a bit plastic to my wife on our honeymoon.
It was at St. Mark's.
St. Paul's in Cornwall?
Well, yes.
Don't tell me you spent your honeymoon there.
How odd, yes. We stayed at the Twisted Swan.
So did we.
Which month were you there?
The beginning of June.
Oh, we were there at the end of June. Oh, my, how strange.
That is so nice.
You always get on the train at Surbiton. Do you live there?
No. I live halfway between Esher and Surbiton, but I like to walk down across the country, you know. I've got a season ticket and I can use either station, you see.
We must live pretty close to each other.
Well, I live in Elm Park Avenue.
Elm Park Avenue? Cool.
You right. Don't mean.
Yes. I live in Elm Park Avenue too.
Well, I'm blue. Which number?
Number 7.
Number 11.
Oh, no. Number 7.
But I live at number 7.
Oh, no. Number 7, the house with the pink flamingo for the rock pool.
And the fishing gnome beside it.
Run. What time do you get up in the morning?
6:30. Albert was an early riser. Then I go for an early morning jog. Get back at 7:15 for breakfast.
Oh. I always get up at 6:35. Shower and breakfast and leave the house by 17.
Oh.
I like to walk the long way round, servant.
Oh.
Which side of the bed do you sleep on?
Left. And you?
I sleep on the right.
What's the name of your wife?
Margaret.
Well, two things are certain.
What's that?
We both married a very remarkable woman. And it's a bloody lucky thing for Harry Hazeltine that he was killed on the Matterhorn.
Some of our contemporary artists use rather unconventional methods of expressing themselves. Mr. Sid Bogg is a painter whose work is well known among his fans. Now, what method do you use, Mr. Bogg, that makes your paintings so completely different?
Well, I paint on walls.
Oh, a mural artist like Leonardo da Vinci.
I don't know his work. Does he work for the council too?
I beg your pardon?
This mural artist, Len Vince.
Oh, da Vinci? Oh, no, he's been dead for years.
Oh, yeah, well, it's starvation wages. That's what it is, mate. We don't get enough to keep a bloody cat alive. War painters get nothing, mate, nothing.
Well, what sort of things do you paint, Mr. Bock?
Well, the usual sort, you know. Do not deface this wall. No rubbish to be dumped here. Danger, keep up. What we call in the trade the bread butter line.
Oh, I see that kind of wall paint. How did you start?
Well, it was when I was a kid. I started in a small way with rude words in the car seat. With another
graffiti?
No, he wasn't Italian. No, his name was Fred Grottle. Then after we was expelled, we done a bit for the young Marxist League. You know, like Churchill is a Burke, Second Front now, Stalin for Pope, you know, usual. Then we got the job for the Westminster City Council, writing on roads, slow, getting a lane, no entry. Pretty soon we was back painting on walls. We done legalised pot, ban a bomb, abortion for all, and Fred loves Liz. That was when Fred was courting.
I see. And what are you doing now, then?
Well, Fred and I are back in partnership with the political contract. It's a top job in wall painting, pageantry.
Well, which party do you work for?
Well, all of them, mate. Labour, Tory, Liberal, and the new lot, the TCP.
The SDP?
Yes, the DDT, as it is.
But, I mean, how could you possibly satisfy all four political parties?
Simple. I'll go around painting, vote Labour, vote Tory, vote Liberal, vote SOB, and Fred goes along behind me with his sponge, and he wraps a bling lot out. Jump for bloody life, mate! Jump for bloody life!
During the course of my life, both married and unmarried, I've lived in both towns and in the country, and it's an absolute myth that the country is quiet. One always gets the idea that if you retire to the country, you're going to live a quiet life. I'm sorry, that's absolute bull.
Ah, well, now, here she is, Ambrosia Cottage, a lovely little country retreat for you poor, overstressed city folk. You'll find it a nice change after London. Beautiful, isn't she?
Yes, it's quite delightful. It's so, cottagey.
Ah, you bet it, sir. That's what this little gem is. Cottagey.
It's a bit gloomy, Joe.
Oh, well, naturally. You see, it's been closed up for some time. His last owner had to sell it for reasons of health.
Oh, what was wrong with him?
He died. Not here, of course, no, in the local cottage hospital. It's not haunted nor nothing like that.
Oh, I mean, we don't mind a ghost.
So long as it's nice and friendly.
Oh, I'm sure that if there is a ghost hereabouts, it'll be right friendly. Oh, yes. Now I come to think about it, I did hear tell that the cottage were lively.
Lively?
Lively, meaning not empty, as you might say.
You did say that the ghost, if there is one, is friendly.
Oh, are. Cuddly, you might use the word. Warm and friendly and most amiable. Oh, yeah. A lovely, charming old-world presence.
Whose ghost might it be?
Well, of course, it might be old Mrs. Gollop, the widow woman who was wronged by the wicked squire, Mad Murgatroyd. Or on t'other hand, it might be the pretty little milkmaid, Letitia Ballweevil, who was taken advantage of by the squire's potty grandson, who was, as we say in these parts, not exactly in the upper. But I'm sure they're friendly folk. After all, you didn't do him no harm.
Yes, but it is a big gloom.
Oh, that's all part of its rustic air of peace and quiet, you see. You'll find it a big change after London. Oh, you'll just switch on the light. You'll see the difference. Now, that's better, eh? Nice and cosy.
What's that noise?
Oh, that? Oh, that's just the generator starting up. Most economical, too, you know. You're not on the main service here, you know. You need a generator for your light and all.
What on earth is that?
That's a water pump. It comes on automatically when the generator starts. As we said, you're not on the main series. Now, the old well has got a built-in ram pump. Very reliable machinery put in by the widow Gallop after her husband passed.
Oh? How did he die?
Fell down the well. The machinery is a great improvement. A modern con, you might say. That's the heating system. That's a four-span on air blast which circulates round the cottage. Very much appreciated when you're stowed up in winter. Kept old Gaffer Cockle Carrot alive for 3 days when he was cut off here in the blizzard of 58.
Really? Did he save his life?
No, he died of starvation. It was 2 weeks before he got the snow plow to him. But you'll be having a freezer put in, won't he? There's the fridge old Mother Cocklin put in. Ah, it's still a good worker. You'll be all right for food then. Any more generators or other service machinery? Well, we got the dishwasher, of course. Hurry, Andy. Your wife will appreciate not having to
work. What did you say?
I said the wife will find the dishwasher, Andy. Favor a bottle of Acer.
I can't hear you.
It's so convenient. Oh, Andy! Very handy! You'll find it a nice change after London!
And as you can hear, there's a feeling of great excitement in the air, and the crowd has an air of expectancy, which is a sure sign that they are coming. Yes, I think I can hear them coming. Yes, I can. And so can the crowd. As you can hear, they've gone wild. Yes, yes. They are coming. And here they come. Yes. Here they come. And here they are. And there they go. Yes. There they go. Yes, indeed. There they go. Which is probably why they came. Whoever they bloody well were.